I was watching it actually from a bar in St. Louis talking to Bosnian soccer players while eating a cheeseburger. So it was actually very entertaining.
And how was the cheeseburger?
It was actually really good.
Burger, I'm really hungry right now, you guys.
Cheese curd. It was just very cheesy, very good.
Very cheesy and good, just like you, buddy.
Yeah, well. You didn't get much argument there, man. Anything to shake this mud on it, but the
tank's got me drinking. Gentlemen, there's obviously so much we can get to this week. We'll get to the Galaxy match coming up. We'll get to the playoff outlook, the table, the race atop the table here. But I think the obvious, the undeniable starting point here is nowhere other than what Tim Melia did to Christian Roldan. I want to make sure we cover this from every single possible angle imaginable. I want to hear from his parents on how they raised him and if they prepared him for this moment. I want to get alternate camera angles. I want to hear where you guys were at when this happened. I want to make sure we cover this to the fullest extent.
It's also damn exciting.
Damn.
My man Timmy picked him up and threw him down like he was his annoying little brother. Just utter disregard for him and who he is as a human being. And I loved every second of it.
The appropriate amount of regard.
Yes, yes, exactly. The utter disregard and the exact amount that Christian Roldan deserves for the audacity to put on a Seattle Sounders jersey.
Who wants to go first with their where they were?
Oh my gosh, should we all just stand up and pantomime it? Can we all just pantomime, relive it? Thad, you look like you could pick someone up and throw them down.
I would tell you a long story, but I'll make it very, very short. I have suplexed somebody off of a hill before.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Off of a hill, like you threw them down and they rolled down a hill.
I lifted them up over my head with their whole body going up over, and I fell backwards, dropping them as I went. They went about 25, 30 feet because it was all downhill.
Was this in anger?
No, it was just for exercise.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's fine.
That was just fun in the Marine Corps.
I was watching Roldan, you know, off the ball, wherever the ball was during that, I was watching him back Melia into it. And I was growing as angrier by the second as Melia was. And just, I felt it. That's what I wanted to do. I was like screaming while watching it. And I know I'm not one to defend keepers ever because they rarely deserve it. But I was screaming at what he was doing. The way this league calls referees or calls the way referees call keepers in this league, sorry, is that everything that Roldan was doing there was just blatantly illegal. And Tim Melia just could not handle it anymore. He just forgot every human was watching him. He thought it was complete disregard for rules and humanity. And again, it was glorious.
What was your first reaction, Robert?
First reaction was, yeah, kind of neutral. I wasn't sure which way to go. But after watching the video a number of times, I have a definite reaction.
Robert's coming from too long of like a place of journalism. My initial reaction, I was jumping up and down and screaming with joy. And when I finally calmed down, I was waiting to see a red card.
I was surprised he didn't get one in the moment. Yes, that's for sure. But what a badass.
I know. Whatever happens after this, we'll get to the discussion on what may be coming to Tim Melia. Whatever happens after that, just it was worth it. Like, there's no way that's just one of those, you take the punishment. It was worth it. You know it's coming. But it was worth it. He had the audacity to be Christian Roldan and wearing a Seattle Sounders jersey. He deserved it.
David, you know who I think really deserved it? It's the Seattle fans. They deserve to see something like that happen.
Yes.
Where they're not respected.
They absolutely deserve it, including the fan that said Tim Melia should be arrested for assault after that. David, jump in here, man. What did you, where were you at for this game? How did you feel about this? Was it a red card, first of all, I guess?
So I got a couple thoughts. First of all, I hate to pull the I'm an attorney card, but I'm an attorney at the default. I was watching the game. I missed it live because I was taking care of my kids. I saw it only after we scored our second goal to go ahead, the goal to go ahead. And so I was just filling up our MLS cup from 2013 with the tears of Seattle fans and trying everything I could to not post on Sounder at Heart and laugh at them. I'm a bit unprepared for this discussion. You know, I was preparing Botswana facts all week. I didn't know.
Those zebras.
I mean, my take, I think it's a red card. I think it's kind of the definition of violent conduct. And I would expect him to get suspended for probably a game or two.
Yeah, a game or two seems about right. There's just no way you can say, I mean, I assume a couple people on this podcast are about to, but it's just really hard. After you keep watching the replay, just if you watch it more than one time, it's just so hard to be like, yeah, nah, he doesn't deserve any extra punishment. It is pretty shocking in the most wonderful way. But like I said, you got to take the punishment. Like, I think it's coming. Hopefully it's only one game. I mean, you know, they got to play the game of where the league will announce one punishment and then there'll be an appeal and, you know, they try to negotiate it down. And so, you know, we'll see, but hopefully, you know, with this run up to the finish of the season here, we're not without him for more than one game.
All right, Thad, do you want to go first? You want me to?
Oh man, you go.
All right. Okay. So when I said Melia is a badass, what I mean or meant is that Melia is a badass for fighting for the ball in the moment, trying to do his job. Here's what I think after looking at the videotape happened. So, okay. They're together. They hit the post, right? Okay. At that moment, Melia's feet aren't planted. He cannot forcibly plant with his feet and push backwards. He's off balance is what he is. Roldan's right leg is planted a little bit, and it's hard to tell if he pushes back with force or not. But either way, when they hit the post and Roldan's shoulder is in his chest, Melia starts to lose his balance and falls backward. Well, what do you do when you fall backward? You grab onto what's there, and he had his arm around, you know, Roldan trying to make the save. He puts one arm back to catch himself, and the other one just naturally takes Roldan with him. He doesn't violently throw him down like a wrestler would. He simply falls down, and he still gets up and tries to get the ball, what he's trying to do the whole time. So what I think is going to happen here is this body slam to me is not intentional. It's what you do when you fall down. And I think Melia is going to be a victim of people calling it a body slam, getting into the thrill and fun of violent, you know, actions. And he's going to be caught up in the storm of it all and get a suspension as a result.
Wow. That was some top notch explaining away there. I will leave it to our resident attorney there, but I think that was a glorious defense. I love all of the squirming you had to do it, but my word, I love it. I think it, you sold me on it. I say no suspension for Melia.
So Robert, I just want to clarify before the real lawyer jumps in. I want to, you know, question the witness for the non-red side.
There you go.
All right. So I know when I've played before and I thought somebody's going to run into me, I would easily fall backwards. Okay. Uh-huh. Are you thinking that he's intentionally throwing himself backwards to maybe draw a foul with Tim there?
Are you talking about Roldan doing that?
Yes.
It's very hard to tell if he forcefully pushes back to do that. But I think once he feels the force of going backwards, Roldan at that moment is like, I'm going to let this happen because he's going to get trouble for it. Because
he's selling it at that point.
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, yeah.
And by let this happen, you mean let his face smash into the turf is what you're saying. So just to clarify that. That's what
was his face smashed in, or was it just
no?
Did he land on his back? See, there you go. What's the word I'm looking for here? just blowing it all out of proportion.
Well, the best
what part are you, of a this, Seattle fan? Come on, man. Stop blowing it out of proportion.
The best part of this is that Bob was saying all of that just dead serious with a straight face. Said the phrase that Melia did not violently throw him to the ground when by all standards of definitions, I saw a man get violently thrown to the ground. And again,
thrown or pulled by momentum. There's a big difference. Pulled by momentum of falling than thrown. But yeah, by the time they got down, his arm looks like he's throwing, but he's just trying to get back up so he can defend the ball in case the cross doesn't get cleared or the ball doesn't get cleared.
Yeah, he is definitely just trying to get this annoying little fly out from in front of him so he can play defense. That is what's happening, but
tell us. Yeah.
Robert, have you ever watched the Zapruder film? I really think
Zapruder?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Pronounce it correctly first.
Oh, apologies.
Yeah, I think that's David's first fine. This is Zapruder.
Oh, no.
I think that's his first fine.
I'm actually a pretty big JFK buff as far as that goes. But anyway.
Have you read 11/22/63?
No, I have not.
Stephen King novel. It's good. I read it. It's very long though. Or Stephen just King. Watch the,
shocking.
Or just watch the Amazon Prime show with James Franco.
Okay. Of course you've seen the Seinfeld episode.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Anyway, sorry, David, continue.
Oh, no, that's all I had. I was just impressed by Robert's ability to make what was obviously a rock bottom be Christian Roldan's fault.
No, I didn't say it was Roldan's fault. I'm just saying that's what you do when you fall, man.
The squirming was glorious. It's top-notch, top-notch wriggling out of there.
All right. No. Okay, everybody's like equating this to WWE, right?
Exactly.
You know that shit's fake. Nobody's really getting hurt, right? Okay, so the rock bottom, first of all, it was not a clinical rock bottom, because a clinical rock bottom would be grabbing him, lifting him, throwing him down, where this was more just a twist and go down.
Oh, man, right? Pat, are you like a wrestler? Are you our resident WWE aficionado? Oh, okay.
No, I wouldn't. But I've done enough research.
Okay.
Okay, because I used to watch wrestling when I was a kid. That's a long time ago. I had like 2 years, like 20 years ago, I watched it again. And that was about it. We should probably get Chad on here for wrestling. But it's not a classic rock bottom from The Rock. I watched it. It's not lifting him up like that. It is throwing him to the side and falling as we went. Okay. You see that with other people, like forwards will throw defenders out of the way when they're trying to get the balls in on a corner kick, and they always get called for it. It's a legit foul, no problem. It wasn't that violent. Yes, you can say he hit. It was potentially dangerous because he could have hit a piece of the goal. I get all that, but there wasn't any intent in that. It was just to throw him to the side and get back up and get ready because he was in his way, and he was actively obstructing him from getting across the goal line to be able to be prepared to make a save.
Do we have any responsibility here? Do we want to be the responsible show and show the other side of this that kind of thing is not okay in the sport of soccer, or is it just completely justifiable because it is indeed Christian Roldan in a Sounders jersey?
Okay, I will say that we should not see that, and I have no problem with him being carded and all that for having done so. That's not an okay thing to just do. I agree. But it's whether it rises to the level of a red and violent contact and brutality, which is in the phrasing, lawyer over there, he should be reading the defining the rules for us, the brutality of it, which is what Ismail Elfath said after, was it the brutality? It didn't rise to the level of brutality. It was a foul. He threw him to the side. It's not an okay thing to do. It's a foul.
Well, I do think that's an interesting point, because I went back and looked at some of the retroactive red cards and suspensions that were issued by Disco. And just for any listeners who don't know, the disciplinary committee is one American, one Canadian, and then somebody who's nominated by the referees organization. They review all these things. And there's different parameters with which they review them. So they're viewed where the referee didn't see it. And there was, I think, the keeper from Dallas a couple games ago. There was a big scrum and the keeper, when nobody's looking, kind of kicked a guy in the leg. And he got a one game suspension. And then there's like the bone crunching tackles. Tati Castellanos lit somebody up from, I think, Red Bulls back in September and got a suspension. And that was where the official did see the incident, but didn't issue a red card. So that's kind of where we would be at today, is official saw it and chose not to issue a red card. And so the disciplinary committee can issue a suspension for one game or two or more, depending on what the action itself was. But in each of those instances, I mean, Tati Castellanos, a couple of these other guys who have been suspended, it's in the run of play, but it's especially violent where somebody could have, you know, broken a bone or torn up a knee or something. The keeper from Dallas, I mean, it was kind of a silly, piddly little kick. And I think that's kind of closer where we are, is that somewhere in between the two, where, you know, Tim picked a guy up and threw him to the ground, but wasn't getting Christian Roldan's career by doing so.
Yeah. It wasn't intent to hurt. It was no intent to be brutal. There was no intent to hurt. He did foul by throwing him to the side. Absolutely.
I think Tim Melia found, correct me if I'm wrong here, but we love a good almost fight in soccer. And I think what Tim Melia did here is the fullest extent of an almost fight. I don't think that there's one more level of egregiousness that you can commit that is beyond just throwing a player down. There's still some leeway in there, and you can get away with it. Oh, you know, it was just a scuffle, just, you know, thrown by. There's no punches thrown. I think that is just the fullest extent of an almost fight, and he just towed the line perfectly.
So I'll ask this also. What is worse, a player fighting for position and moving the other player out of the way from what's clearly his spot, or a guy running 60 feet and shoving you as hard as he can at full run? It wasn't very effective because it was Tim that he ran into, but the intent was there in that case to come over and shove him down.
He ran over there and tried to just shove a concrete wall and just ran into
And in all of this, you know, Tim could have broken both Roldans, right? Okay. He could have just thrown the first roll down and shattered him, but that wasn't his intent.
That's what I mean. He just looked like a little, a big brother playing with a little brother, just knows he can get away with whatever he wants because mom's not watching, and then he can just do this.
Okay. So the most important point here, guys, is can we please, God, please have these two teams meet in the playoffs?
Has to happen. A fourth
it has to now.
So I think we've come down on which side we're on, but what do we expect from the disco? And I don't mean a mirror ball.
I bet it ends on one game. I bet he gets a one game suspension.
I would agree. If nothing else, to send the message that please don't do that again.
Okay. So let me ask this question. I'm not sure. Can he just be fined and not suspended? Is that a thing, or has that not been the history of the discipline committee?
I don't think that would be a thing.
That doesn't feel like the history of the disciplinary committee, but yeah. maybe we can filibuster while David looks up some history on that.
We don't need to filibuster right now. So most of the time, the fines are for simulation embellishment.
Yeah. And not leaving the field fast enough.
Not leaving the field. Most of the play that involves some level of physicality results in a one-game suspension. I'd say the vast majority of it is a one-game suspension. I would anticipate that tomorrow they suspend Tim for Wednesday, and then he'd be back by the weekend.
I don't think it merits a suspension, but I think the league, to save face and to send that message, would have to give out a game suspension. Yep.
That's what I think.
So allow me to take off one hat and put on another, the one that I normally wear when it comes to keepers. And just forget that this was my team versus the team I hate.
So hard to do.
Seriously though, like really, if we all just take a step back, like, are you kidding me? No other player on the field can pick someone else up and throw them down and it be any remote question of what happens to that player, right? Am I wrong about that? Come on. Anywhere else on the field.
You are, because Laton existed.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I just, for as much as I love it, you know, and I know he's going to get probably a suspension out of it. But this is just another example of just the absurdity of the way this league treats goalies. Like, I he was probably going to get a foul called there at some point just for Roldan backing up into him. Like, he was going to get that foul called. But, and literally just that, it's just that basic idea that that the referees and MLS, like all the officials on the field and up in the booth, were on board with, you know what, he's a keeper and that guy was bodying him out. So it's, you know, God, keepers come out and they punch people in the face and it's fine. Like, it's just so absurd. What are we doing here, people? Oh my gosh.
Well, like, how long ago did Kyrie almost get killed?
Yeah.
And no call on the, no foul, no card, no retroactive punishment, nothing. Cool. Yeah. And now there's some, you know, some he was going for the ball there, but it was also reckless on his part.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so you say this league. Has this happened in other leagues wherein the keepers are given preferential treatment?
Well, yes. That is a thing that annoys me about many leagues around the world. But it's ironic that this happened because earlier in the day, my Manchester Citizens scored a goal where I can't even remember the player. You know, it was as 50-50 of a ball as I have ever seen of players going up with a keeper. And the keeper dropped the ball and they didn't call a foul on the player. And I watched it happen and it was, you know, in my soul, like, you know, there's that little guy, even if you're watching your team and you kind of like know if your team got away with one there or not. Like, I was watching it and just that the barometer I have in my head, like, I know that it shouldn't have been a foul, but I'm watching it thinking that 100% would have been a foul in the MLS if that keeper got nudged and dropped a ball. And so, yeah, I do think that Major League Soccer is different than other leagues in that regard. And I guess that goal that I had watched a couple hours before it was an example of that. But I mean, you know, like I said, it is a problem everywhere else because that goal after that happened, that was the obvious talking point was like, oh man, you know, every single person watched it and was like, oh, well, we're used to that being called a foul, aren't we? And you know, really everyone was surprised that, you know, this objectively not foul wasn't called a foul. Everyone was surprised by it. So yeah, it's definitely a thing in world soccer that drives me crazy, but I think MLS is more so guilty than other leagues.
I don't know that it really is, but it's a fair opinion to have. But in the long run, does it help MLS notoriety by that play getting The Rock attention and everybody else around the world pretty much? And you know, the launch of 1,000 memes today and small river of tears.
Oh, this is another example of, you know, Dom Dwyer taking the selfie and getting fined for it. But then years later, we're still seeing advertisements of him holding up that phone.
smoke in the stands, fires in the stands, things like that, yep. That has been banned at certain times. All gets shown as a part of the sell for the league.
He
you
will
know,
get,
fighting in hockey, you know, right. Things like that.
Yeah. Timmy will get suspended for this. And then 5 years from now, when rivalry week comes around, we will still see that split second of a player getting thrown down. That'll still be in the promo of that.
And each one of us will smile a little.
I just love how Fad went metaphorical there for a bit. It's like, wow, what a poet.
You know, the cauldron made the Russell TIFO a couple years back. I think it's time to update the TIFO and get Tim in there.
Tim, another thing for Tim. The gif of that throwdown, whenever he is inducted as a sporting legend, there should just be a little TV screen that just loops on the wall of legends. There should just be a little gif of that right next to it.
So, Dave, were you talking about WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, Timmy Mania.
That would be a good tag team partnership, Johnny and Timmy.
Yes, it would.
Johnny's in trouble. Tim comes off the top rope.
So should we actually talk about the soccer game that occurred around the wrestling match, Sporting KC versus the Seattle Sounders? I think there were a couple of nice goals scored, I believe, and that had some major impacts on the MLS standings in the playoff race. So we've talked for a while now already, but now there's a bunch of other relevant soccer things that we should get to.
Yes, yes, we should.
So one of those goals, 38 passes. Is that correct? 38 passes led to one of those goals? That's got to be the high for the season for Sporting, right?
Probably so. Best part about it, though, to me was if you watch it on MLS, they have a camera that shows the whole field. As you can see, the Seattle defense shifting from side to side, and then Sporting's like, okay, that's not working. So they drop the ball back, see what Seattle does. They go forward again, and they drop it all the way back to Nelia. And you can see Seattle's defense come up, and then that's where we go and attack the gaps that come out. So it's just kind of cool to see the whole big picture there.
Yeah, and that was a perfect example of them when they're at their best, which was not all of that game for sure, of pulling a defense apart. Seattle's very good at sitting back and weathering that stuff normally. They're very good at that. And this was one of those times that they were able to slowly pull people out of position. And in that pass, Jimmy Madranda had actually come up to be there in case Zusi, I think it was going to go with the ball. But it ended up coming up the middle, going to Roger, and he wasn't able to recover in time to get back to where Johnny was. So that's how Johnny was open in that spot. So thank you, Jimmy.
Still helping the team.
Is this the part where we talk about Kyrie being the reason that we create all that space?
Oh, geez. Oh, really? Do we? Oh, God. Okay, I'm ready. Let's go for it.
The weekly Kyrie talk.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, hey, I mean, Dave. The one I was more surprised about was that that didn't seem like we had a giant hole from missing Daniel Shalloway. I was expecting that to be a real issue, but yeah, I mean, things were still clicking, I guess, enough, you know.
It was far from Gotti a perfect game.
I think Gotti played a great game for the most part in playing the false nine or up top, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, he did. And I watching that game, I was watching him thinking about hearing that, you know, what Vermees has told him, that it's like, you know, it's like go time, that he needs the results to come, and, you know, he needs to be the guy. And you can see that in the way Gotti's been playing. I can see a new urgency that he's playing with. And, you know, I've expressed my concern about the final touch and all of that. But, you know, I did like his match in Seattle.
Well, he probably should have had another on his header, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dave, did you want to talk about the Kyrie thing? Because our friend Chad made a comment, and I don't necessarily agree with it at all.
Well, I actually do think, you know, I try to be a Kyrie realist, which is that sometimes he's very good for us and sometimes he's very bad. I actually think that he was really bad in this game. And I think
that's not allowed in soccer punditry.
Oh, apologies.
This is America. You need to be one way or the other.
But I thought he was really bad in this game. And I did think that we had Daniel Shalloway hole that was missing. You know, we didn't have, other than his goal, did we have another shot or a shot on goal in the second half?
No, that was the only one.
You know, and I'm looking at some of the stats, and, you know, Gotti had a handful of shot-creating actions. You know, Roger had the one, which led to the goal. But Kyrie had an XG of 0, expected assist 0, 0 shot-creating actions. He didn't do anything. He wasn't at any point in time a threat during the game.
Did he do anything defensively, though?
He had one tackle. He had one tackle in the middle third of the field. He had 11 pressures. One was successful. He had one block, one interception. It wasn't a great game for him.
No, it was far from Kyrie's best game.
Yeah, as one guy stated on the Blue Testament, anybody can run around in pressure, I understand Kyrie does it with enthusiasm and he's fast and everything and he's big, but yeah, there's a lot of people who can do that. But on the goal, he simply runs actually toward Johnny and actually kind of draws the defense nearer to Johnny than he could have if he had actually made a run, say, to the back post or something like that. So the point that was made was that he opened up space for Johnny when really he really kind of ran into Johnny's space and brought the defenders even closer. But anyway.
Yeah, Johnny's seventh game in a row with a goal. That was beautiful. The winner, it was a very patented Johnny Russell goal, a very JFR goal. Should we give – do we got to give Remy Voltaire. I corrected myself quick enough. I'm not paying a fine. Remy Voltaire. Okay, fine. Fine. I will pay a fine for that one.
That's a red card.
We need – yeah, that was a beautiful strike from him. Do we give him credit even though it took a deflection? I liked it.
Oh, yeah. It was on goal. It was on target. It was a good shot.
I hadn't even turned the game on yet.
It'll be huge for his confidence too, which is great.
All right. So I want to throw another thing out there since we love to hate on Seattle. Did they have a concerted plan to just hack Gotti for the first 45 minutes, 30 minutes?
Yeah, it seemed like it, but I couldn't tell if that was me actually thinking that or if it was because Nate and Jake kept referring to it. It seemed like after the first tackle on Gotti, they were already talking about the concerted effort to foul Gotti Kinda.
Well, and so were the Seattle announcers. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's notable that João Paulo picked up that first yellow card on what was a pretty soft tackle, and I don't think he had had any other fouls, and it was because so many other guys had hacked down Gotti that Elfath was basically like, the next guy to foul him gets a yellow.
Yeah.
Because contextually, it wasn't that bad compared to, you know, Kellen Rowe trying to break his ankles and a couple of these other guys being real cynical.
Yeah, they mentioned that on the broadcast. You know, it's persistent infringement can refer to one player committing the fouls or a team, you know, one player can kind of take the boot for the rest of the team on a foul just like that, like you said. So what did we think of Izzy? Yes, Izzy was back. We got some athleticism there on the back line. That was very refreshing.
So positive, he was athletic. He had some height. He got back into position. He cleared some balls. Negative was some of his passes were.
Yeah.
Now we'll give him some time because he hasn't been playing, playing on turf, playing in that game, all that adds up to. I'm not like saying he's terrible and we should write him off or anything like that, but that was the positive and negative.
Yeah, I would say it was almost exactly like what you would have expected. You know, the passing, losing Ilya's passing or losing a Barcelona guy's passing for, you know, maybe a bit more speed and some athleticism back there.
Well, but not that Ilya makes every pass either, because he made a bad pass that actually was, I think that was the one that turned around and came back that ended up being the whole incident, wasn't it?
Right. But I just mean, yeah, I don't think, you know, the drop off in passing is something that, you know, it's a concern for Issy going forward. I think, like you said, first game back, he's going to get more into the flow of the game. And honestly, yeah, the league in general, let alone just like back on match fitness and match speed, but he's still, you know, getting acclimated to the league. It's still, you know, he hasn't, how many matches does he have? It's still only a handful, right?
Yeah. But go back to the 38 pass sequence. Izzy has 5 or 6 of those passes in that sequence. So he wasn't, you know, always off.
No.
Well, it's, you know, I think we're remembering the couple of really bad ones that put us in danger. But if you look at the passing numbers, he actually had a better completion percentage than Fontas, admittedly with fewer attempts. But he was 9 of 10 on short passes. Fontas was 11 of 12. But you know, their numbers are pretty similar across the board. The big difference was Fontas was trying to hit those long balls and was less accurate. But looking at the different at their passing charts, you see Matt, well, it really wasn't that bad outside those two real sloppy ones.
Yeah. Wow. And those are the ones that stood out though.
Our show is just really taking it to the next level here with the addition of the supportive stats here. I really enjoy it. All right, so Seattle match in the bag. Christian Roldan on the ground somewhere still. Sporting KC is 3 points behind Seattle with a game in hand. Who's got the game in hand now, Seattle? With the match against the Galaxy coming up on Wednesday. How are we feeling about the Galaxy game?
Well, before we get into that, last four games for us are the Galaxy, RSL, Minnesota, and Austin. That's not too bad of a schedule. You look at Colorado, they're looking at LAFC, Vancouver, and the Galaxy. And then, I'm sorry, that's Seattle. Colorado is looking at LFC, New England, and Houston. So of the three, I think we actually have the easier schedule too.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that last week. I do think we have the easiest schedule here. The Galaxy being one that still worries me, though.
Yeah, and anytime we play RSL is a little rough, but
RSL is always a toss-up.
Yeah.
And Galaxy's been playing a little bit better as of lately. I think, what, two draws and two wins in their last four?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know they'll always do what they have to do to sneak into seventh place and make the playoffs.
Yeah. Or the league Seattle, will make sure they do. Damn it.
Say if Seattle wants a conspiracy theory, that's the one right there.
But, you know, L.A. pulled a draw out of their ass against Dallas. Dallas, I think, outplayed them throughout the game. Yeah. They kind of fortuitous handball in the box to allow Chicharito to get a goal. They beat Houston, who might as well not even play in the league, drew a pretty bad LAFC team. The Portland win is good, but Portland's been on a pretty big skid after winning four or five in a row. So maybe that isn't as good of a win as we thought.
Speaking of Houston and Dallas, I did hear a rumor they're just going to relegate all of Texas.
Yes, great. How glorious is that? All three Texas teams below the red line.
I love it. So, okay, is the key to shutting down the Galaxy shutting down space for Chicharito, or what's the key here?
Chicharito or, oh, man, now I can't even think of his name.
Grancier Cabral.
Cabral. And also, they have, I had no idea that Sasha Kljestan was playing for the Galaxy at this point. I saw him the other week. Is he playing regularly? Like, will he feature? Is he okay? He's just a late come off the bench locker room guy, huh?
Yeah.
Sasha Kljestan has been old for a long time, hasn't he?
He still plays for the US national team at times.
That's been a while.
No, he doesn't. When was the last time Sasha Kljestan played for the national team?
Over the summer.
No way. I refuse to believe that. 2017. Suck it, Thad. 4 years ago.
We'll see.
No more Sasha Kljestan on the national team. That's a from times long gone.
No, you're right. I was messing with you.
I think he played in 2018.
Okay, I was on Wikipedia, so don't trust me.
Again, if it's not Botswana, I don't have the receipts.
So is Vermees going to rotate the squad some come Wednesday night, or is it trot out the same 11 again and hope for the best? Well, or hopefully Shalloway's there, but yeah.
Probably 10 of the 11.
Yeah, well, yeah, well.
I would be surprised if Daniel came back so quickly. We'd give him the extra game. I think a lot of it depends on if Jose Mauri is healthy or not, as to whether or not we'd want to slot him. I think in an ideal world, he'd come back at the six. We'd put Elie back on the back line to allow Izzy some extra time to rest, be bubble wrapped, wheel around, whatever it takes to keep him healthy for the playoffs. But I would expect a mostly.
David, you're having internet issues.
Well, this is why I'm.
We missed the final word of that point. I'm sure it was a wonderful point, though.
it was nothing prophetic.
Speaking of prophetic, Thad, do you have anything for us here before we wrap up this long pod?
I should have prepared something, shouldn't I?
That's the whole point of Thad say something prophetic, is that you're not prepared and something prophetic comes out of your mouth. And that's what's beautiful about it.
In our Tim Melia discussion earlier, we talked about like, what were we doing? How did we react when we saw it live? Well, I didn't see it live. I was actually at my daughter's game, her last outdoor game for her club. She's a senior. So I was there, and it wasn't until after her game that I'm like looking at tweets going, what do you mean Tim should have got a red card? What are you talking about? And then I'm seeing all these like 1,000 tweets about Tim should have got a red card. So that also might have colored my opinion, is like, I already saw like, you know, 997 Seattle fans and 3 Kansas City fans thinking he should get a red card. So by the time I see it, I'm like, no.
My house was a scene, man. Dogs were barking. I was suplexing dogs onto beds. Oh, my God.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm just, like, in a nice way.
What are you, Michael Vick?
Way nicer. Yeah, really. Wait. I was doing it with way more regard to their safety than Christian Roldan's safety. And 3 on goals ain't all that rough. Our skipper has just been sent off. Some part of strong evolve gone soft. My butt buttings got me drinking. My butt buttings got me drinking. My foot buttings. Drinking, give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My foot buttings got me drinking. My foot buttings got me drinking. My foot buttings got me drinking.